Well, it's good to be here. I'm not sure it's good to be here, but it's good to be with y'all. And it's great to have Charlie with us for the first time today. We're real happy about that. It's good to have Betsy back, and she looks great. And Johnny back. He looks tired. And it's good to see Eric back. And I know he's been suffering from some ailments and still is. And we're just so happy to see you, Eric. It's good to have you here. We have some visitors with us. It's good to see you. And good to have some others, half of a family over here. Samantha's sick. This or is it Campbell or both of them? Xander's here. Campbell's sick. Okay, I told him when they get five, they'll never be able to come to church. They just kind of goes through the family and, you know. But anyway, it's... Huh? I'm trying to get our congregation built up here. But isn't it great to be together today on such a wonderful day? A few months ago, I just happened to be in a Bible bookstore. I very rarely go. And I very rarely ever buy any books. Right, Becky? And I was just happened to be walking down through the aisles looking at just books. And I saw the title of a book that was so interesting to me. I very rarely buy a book. Don't strike me down, Lord. I found a book that had a title that was just very fascinating to me. And the name of the book is The Papa Prayer. I said, I gotta get this book. The Papa Prayer. I said, what? I don't care if it's good or bad. I've got to have it. So I got the book, and basically, really, I just got it for the title. I didn't know. I thumbed through it a little bit and looked at a few things. And when I was thinking about what to talk about today or us to be thinking about today, it was this prayer thing. Came into my mind. It's been on my mind very, very much, and maybe with all of us when we think about the situation with Patrick. I want to talk a little bit about Patrick this morning. I hope he left. So, but he's not gone. But he'll be back in here. I want to talk to you a little bit about that in the context of the lesson today. Prayer is to most of us a great mystery. You know, we're told in the Bible. Jimmy read that verse this morning. We did not collaborate. If my people who call themselves by my name will pray, will what is it? Humble themselves and pray. You know, I will be their people. They will be my people. I will be their God. He talks about prayer constantly through the Bible. We read about the prayers of the Old Testament characters as they prayed for their people. And I'm going to read a passage from Daniel where Daniel just throws himself down before God and cannot understand why God has allowed his people to be in the kind of condition that Jimmy was reading about this morning. He understands why they're there, but he wants relief from the things that he sees going on. And I wonder sometimes if we get discouraged. And I'm talking about our private prayers. I'm talking about not only our public prayers, but our private prayer. How important is it to us? We've heard a lot of sermons about it, and I'm sure this won't be the best, or maybe it will be the worst. But we need to hear, we may need to think about prayer. Because we are encouraged in the New Testament that we are God's people, that He is our Father, and that we are to pray for Him and pray to Him for what we need and for the things that only He can provide for us. But you know, we look at the Scripture and we find many times people prayed for things and they did not come true. They did not happen. Sometimes the disciples did not understand prayer. And so they go to Christ and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. That was early in the ministry, and they didn't understand prayer. And one of the reasons they did not understand prayer was because by the time the Pharisees got through interpreting what prayer was, it was just a ritual. It was just words. And Christ chastised the Pharisees for standing up in front of the crowds and eloquating. Is that a word, Chris? Eloquating. Saying long speeches and repeating phrases that people didn't really understand what they meant. And it was a ritual. It was something they did at certain times. And only certain people really could pray. They didn't understand what prayer was. They did not understand the power that prayer could have. And so sometimes they came back from a mission and they would say, Lord, we failed. We prayed for something and it didn't happen. What happened? He said, you just didn't have enough faith. You're going to have to go deeper in order to get these things to happen. We have a great prayer that some people today use almost any time they get ready to pray. I know when I was in band, it's been centuries ago, but one of the things we did right before we'd go out for a performance, we'd all say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we could all say it together because we had all the inflections and the rhythm right and all of that. And I'm not sure that we really understood what we were saying. It was something we said to just have something in unison to say that kind of pulled us together. They tell me, I've read this, that in the early church, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, was a natural thing that people did in worship. They would get together, and one of the things they recited was the Lord's Prayer. And I'm sure that at many times and in many places, the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, was something that had a lot of meaning. But as it has come through time, it has degenerated, in many cases, to a reciting of words, a ritual that has no meaning. When I went to Brazil a few years ago, I think Becky was on that trip. We did a vacation Bible school there. And, of course, my fluent Portuguese, I understood, and they understood my Portuguese very well. I had a translator who was a former Catholic, and the lesson that day was on prayer. And I was explaining to these kids about prayer, what it means. See, we talk to God. God's in heaven. God's got everything. God sees everything. God knows everything. God can do anything. And you can pray yourself to God. When you're in trouble, when you have problems, when you this, when you that, whenever something personal comes up in your life, you can pray to God, and God will listen to you. Well, I got to the time for the break, and they went out to get their crackers. And the translator came to me, and he said, David, they do not understand what you're talking about. In our culture, prayer, the definition of prayer in our dictionary, is a ritual. That's what it is to them. It's taking the beads or whatever they use to say certain phrases, and they recite words. It's kind of like magic. Certain words are going to have certain kinds of effects, but you're not really talking to God. You're not really communicating with God. It's just a ritual. And many people, I believe, view prayer in that way. that it's just, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many of us have said that prayer thousands of times? And it can be a ritual too. It's a good prayer. There's nothing wrong with it. But sometimes it doesn't have meaning because we haven't understood the Papa prayer. But I want to talk to you just a little bit today about the Papa prayer. I'm gonna try to quit early. I probably won't, but Matt's waiting on me at the airport. He knew I was preaching, so I think he's going to get him a nice comfortable seat somewhere. But have you ever prayed a prayer, fervently prayed a prayer, and nothing happened? Don't lie. Don't lie. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but we've all done that, haven't we? We've all prayed for something and looked, and it didn't happen. And even though we might say, okay, God just said no, or you know, there's something other excuse we make for that prayer not happening, sometimes our faith is affected by that. I don't normally tell the story. I probably never told it publicly. Just to illustrate what I'm talking about, and I know most of you have had this kind of experience. When Peggy and I had two boys, she'd already had both boys named girls' names. You couldn't tell beforehand what they were going to be at that time, and so that's why David is David after me, which he's hated probably all his life. But we had a girl name picked out. Kelly Lee was your name before you came out. And then Jonathan. Of course, we got the Lee in on Jonathan, Jonathan Lee. Well, we wanted to have a girl. And so, lo and behold, magically, she came up expectant. I got to be careful here. And it didn't work out. Some of you have been through that. You ladies, you know what I'm talking about. It's a emotional thing. We prayed that this child would come out safe and happy and bless our lives. But it didn't happen. We can't blame God for that. We can't lose our faith because some things we pray for fervently, as we read about in James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And yet sometimes it just doesn't happen. And many people, many times, we get discouraged and we say, well, there's really nothing to this prayer thing anyway. Even Christians, even with those of us who have been in the church and have a relationship with God, sometimes we question, why does God not answer this prayer? We can't answer that. I mean, there's no way for us to know. Any of you have an answer to that? I hope you'll just stand up right now and tell us. You know, how can we understand it? Well, there's several things that the Papa prayer, I'm going to skip down a couple of pages here. Several things the Papa prayer tells us. And the first thing is that P, I got to find it. I got it written down somewhere. I'm not going to read. This is not my whole sermon. I just got it kind of hodgepodged. P, preparation. first. He says sometimes we do not appreciate what our relationship to God is and who God is. And that first of all, we have to present ourselves to God. Not our petitions, not our wishes, not our hopes. First, we have to present ourselves to God. That we have to bow before Him as we acknowledge who God is and who we are. In the prayer that Daniel gives to God, he says, I'm not asking you to help me because I'm worthy, or to help my people because they're worthy. I'm asking you to help us because of who you are. You're the great God, and we've got your name. So he presented himself to God humbly. And he presents himself to God as the acknowledger of the power, of the reality. You're my God. You remember when Job faced God? Oh man, he was a big talker. Talked about God. He told people why God did so and so. Why did God do this, that, and the other? And all of a sudden, God shows up. Now, who do you think you are, Job? Trying to talk for me. Trying to speak for me. Trying to tell these other people why I'm doing what I'm doing. Well, who are you? That's the approach we ought to have to God. We're to go before God and acknowledge we are nothing. Our desires and our will is nothing compared to you. When we approach his throne with that attitude, it has an effect on our relationship. What is your relationship to God? What is our relationship to God? Do we acknowledge him as the powerful being, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-understanding, all-loving God? Or do we stand before him and he calls them, I forgot the word, selfish children. Selfish children trying to beat the doors of heaven to get what we want. No. We can't approach God that way and expect God to react in anything but a negative way. So, P, present ourselves before God with humility. Second, we attend God. We attend to God. We thank Him for the things that He has done for us. Do you believe that God has done something in your life? Last week, last year, last hour, last moment, has God done anything in your life? If you don't think so, it's hard to thank Him and give Him honor and let Him know that you give Him honor and glory for the things that He's done for you and me. I admit, folks, when I read this and when I've studied it, it just hurt me because I sometimes ride down the highway and some guy pulls out in front of me and says, Lord, you know, I need your help to get my car stopped before I crash. You know, and I guess it's okay, but I'm saying sometimes we don't approach God as if He has already done great things for us. Christians, what is our greatest gift from God? Salvation. No matter what else, what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Only Christ can give us that. And we need to acknowledge that, present, attend to God. Let him know how much we appreciate what he's already done for us. Third, I purge, P-A-P, purge, the things that block our relationship to God. There's a place in the Sermon on the Mount where Christ says, when you bring your gift to the altar, what do you do? What do you do? He says, if you have a problem with your neighbor, if you have something against your neighbor, what are you supposed to do about it? Go and make it right. And then come and bring your gift. Sometimes we have things between us and God. Well, don't we always have something between us and God? There's something inside of us almost always that kind of, we're trying to sneak around the principle. God says, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you and that despitefully use you. Boy, sometimes it's hard to do that. It's hard to get those things that stand between us and our relationship with God out of the way. But when we approach God in prayer, that's one of the things we need to do. If I have done anything, if I'm not living the way you want me to live, God, I want to wipe those out. And I want to stand before you wanting to do your will. And fourth, I approach God by acknowledging that God is good, that God is my greatest friend, that God is my greatest source of strength. And we tell God what we need. That's a part of prayer, is asking him for things. But we also acknowledge that, God, you know. You know what I need. You know what my needs are. Here's what I'd like to have. If it's in your will, I want to have that. But sometimes it's just not in his will. Or we can't see it. I'm reminded a lot of times, and maybe you are too, as you approach God in your prayer, that Christ went to God, went to his Father, God, the closest relationship there is in the universe. And he says, God, my Father, if this thing that I'm fixing to go through, this cup that I'm about to drink, can be avoided, if there's any way for me to get out of this, please, Father, take this cup away. Don't let me go through this. Did God answer his son's prayer? Well, you know he did. You know he did. But it didn't fit with what God, what Christ desired to happen. Even Christ, he said, I came to do the will of my Father that sent me, no matter what it costs. No matter what it costs. And you know, when we go before God, even in our private prayer, sometimes we stumble and we stall. Sometimes when we get up here and we start to pray and everything just kind of, you know, goes away, and we stumble and we make dumb sentences, or we stop halfway through. We just can't think of anything else to say. Amen. But when we're in our private prayers, those things, sometimes we are sharing our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions with God, and we can't even express in words how we feel. Romans 8:26. We do not know what we need to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. If you can't explain your situation, if you feel like you're inadequate to explain We don't have to worry about that. If we believe that the Spirit is interceding for us in that way, that the Spirit, our Spirit knows, God's Spirit knows, and that communication is going to happen. So I hope that maybe the Papa Prayer will be something that that you might remember. It's something we need to think about as we pray. You probably do it anyway, but I don't. I haven't done that always. And it doesn't take a long time to go through those four steps. But the way we approach our God is very important. Before I close today, I would like to mention several things about Patrick's situation. I think most of us were probably expecting him to be on an airplane today or somewhere else in Fuji or somewhere. Fiji, I'm sorry. And I'm not going to try to explain all the complexities of this deal. Johnny can explain it to you. God bless you, Johnny. Johnny deserves so much of our admiration for the patience that he had shown. Maybe he didn't show quite as much patience when we weren't around. I don't know. But it has been an ordeal. And the situation has had so many hoops to jump through, and we're not sure we're through all the hoops yet. But we have acquired tickets for Patrick to go on Tuesday. Is that correct? He's going to fly to Fiji, and he's going to meet his wife and daughter on Wednesday or Thursday. Well, it's according to what time zone you're in. I don't know. They're on a different thing over there. I think they're on a different day. They're on a different day over there. But anyway, and they're planning, if the ticket agent is kind to him, he's going to be coming back, leaving that night, and coming back here on Thursday or Friday. We don't know for sure. Friday morning at 4:45. So all of us want to be there too. But as I've been talking about prayer, I know that Patrick has been praying diligently and fervently that this will all work out. There may be some snags left. I don't know. We don't know that. We don't know because we're dealing with people that we just don't know how they'll deal with it. We hope it works out. We pray that it'll work out. And I'm asking each of you, in our personal and private prayers, to pray for Patrick, to pray for his family, to pray for his wife. She doesn't know this is going to happen or not. He's told her it's going to happen, and it's delayed. He's told it's going to happen. He went over there to get her, and it's failed. And so we need to pray for her. What's her name? Sorry? Okay, say it louder because I can't say it. Lita. Pray for Lita. Pray for her culture shock when she comes back. Pray for our family here to not only keep them in our prayers, but to determine within ourselves that we're going to help in any way we can to make this transition possible from our point of view, from our perspective. God uses us. It may be His will this week or next week or some other time, and some opportunity comes up for you. That's a part of prayer. God speaks to us as we speak to Him. It's a conversation. And He speaks to us in different ways. Opportunities that come up. As we see needs, God may be speaking to us and saying, this is something that you need to be a part of. You need to help. I'm going to ask you, I haven't talked to any of the men about this, but or anybody really. I'm just going to do it anyway. Patrick's ticket is paid for. I don't think we were right on the edge of the money we had put together. He has not been paid from his job. He gets paid next week or sometime. He has no money. He's going 10,000 miles, or I don't know how many miles. I'm just going to say 10,000. That sounds good. It's a long way out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And he doesn't have any money. And I hope that we today can give some money. If you want to just give it to Johnny, or if you want to give it, don't give it to me, but or to Patrick, to help him on his trip, to help him get there, to get a hotel that day or that night, to help him get a little rest before he starts back, and he's going to have three or four stops on the way back. And he has to stop in the airport and eat and such. If you don't mind, help him today. I know he'd appreciate it very much. And I would like for us to, I'm going to ask Rich. You know, Rich is a man of prayer. I think we all have a great respect for him, as others in here. But I'm going to ask Rich, if he doesn't mind, to lead our prayer. I don't know who's assigned to that at the end of our session today, but I'd like for you to pray a special prayer for Patrick and his family and his situation this week. Actually, let's just do that right now. Okay? Let's all bow together. I appreciate John's leading, singing this morning. And we're going to stand here in just a second. If anyone has any need and any desire to express today, if you want to come forward, or if you just want to raise your hand, and after we sing the song, if you have something you want to share with us, if you want to be baptized into Christ, that's a good time for you to do that. So what was the number, John?
902.
902. Let's all stand. And let's sing together.
What can wash away?